Hey everyone, it's James Baca and welcome to the Notorious Banker Podcast. We got 22,600 plus amazing followers on TikTok at Notorious Banker, 3,400 plus amazing followers on Twitter at Bank Better Guy, 4,000 plus amazing followers on Instagram at Notorious Banker. I also have a blog, thenotoriousbanker.substack.com, nicknamed Consumer Beast. Please subscribe to that free of charge. I'm finding my love and passion for writing again. Not to mention I'm the author of High Risk Transaction, the Ryan Coogler Bank of America incident, now available in paperback and Kindle format on Amazon. Guys, thank you so very much for your love and support. I really do appreciate it. And of course, you know, I'm writing a couple of other books, one about Zell, one about basketball, and one about turning 40. I got a lot going on. I just feel like I'm 100 miles an hour every single day, and I love that. I love that I have this creativity right now because it will go away eventually. It can go away and it will go away. And sometimes I feel that I'm on social media too much. Sometimes I feel like I'm writing too much. But I think that's a good thing. I think that tells me one thing. I'm engaged. I have so many amazing followers who want to talk to me about the things that interest me. And with my new Substack, Consumer Beast, you know, I'm taking on all other topics as well. You know, of course, we talked about the Zelle thing that happened a couple weeks ago at Bank of America. But then I also talked about this PPP GoFundMe scheme that a local coffee shop was running here in my hometown of Las Cruces, New Mexico. And I hate talking about local people with my project. It's just because I live here and I know the way New Mexicans are. It's just a cultural thing. You know, when I say culture, I just mean the state itself. People are so petty. People are vindictive whenever you call them out on something. But I had to. There was a coffee shop that was basically asking for a $30,000 handout so they can restart a failed coffee business despite getting, you know, $500,000 in pandemic aid, allegedly not paying their employees, among other things. And I just had to say something. It's ethically my responsibility as someone who has a voice to point something out and go, hey, you really shouldn't give money to people who have had plenty of it, didn't succeed, and now there's this, you know, just duct tape together scheme to ask the general public for $30,000 when, according to them a couple months ago, business was fine. They launched their own coffee line with a university. And then a landlord raised the rent on them, allegedly kicked them out of their building whenever it was found out to be tenant non-compliance, meaning that they weren't paying their bills more than likely. And now they want another $30,000 handout to restart the business and not really tell us where it's going to be at, or like, apparently there's going to be coffee roasting in an apartment. And I was like, no, this has got to stop. This has got to stop. So I wrote 7,000 words, and goddamn, 1,000 people read that in the first 2 hours. So I did a part two, another 3,000 words, and it felt like I wrote a book. But I wrote my personal opinion, I wrote the research and evidence that I found. And guess what? Guess what? I posted it, I said, you know what, this has to be done, I posted it. And it got a good response, even from the people who were supportive of these people. Because they happen to have, one of the two people happens to be from my hometown of Socorro, New Mexico. And the people that I thought were going to totally shit on my research didn't. And the people in Las Cruces who I thought were going to totally shit on my research didn't. And it told me I did the right thing. So the Notorious Banker on Substack, Consumer Beast, please check it out. It's free to subscribe. I will have paid content on there sooner rather than later. I'm just trying to figure out what and how I'm going to go about doing that. There is a podcast element on there that I can do specific podcasts for the topics that I talk about. I really want to do that. I really believe writing is going to take me anywhere that I want to go. I could easily be a Jeopardy champion, but I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon. But writing and talking about the thing I love, customer service, consumer ethics, these are the things I live for, and these are the questions I have and I talk with my wife about and I talk to you about. So please check that out, thenotoriousbanker.substack.com. You can also check the standalone blog about the coffee shop that I mentioned. I won't give their name on here because they don't need any publicity from me. But go to stalecoffeebreath.com. That's S-T-A-L-E, coffee breath, all one word, .com, and check that out. We're going to do a couple of quick hits here. I just wanted to do a podcast because I hadn't done one in a while, and I feel bad because I'm just busy working on other things here. The Biden administration proposed an $8 cap on late fees on credit card payments, and I do feel that that is a positive. There is some hesitation on my part as to just accepting that at face value. But the head of a lobbying group for big banks had the dumbest thing to say to the Wall Street Journal. I'm going to get to that in that segment. And I got to tell you, it's a doozy. I'll give you a hint. Long story short, they say that they're charging you crazy late fees on credit cards because they love you. They basically are saying that. And we're going to go kind of pop culture on the second and final segment here. Aaron Carter, boy bander, brother of Nick Carter of the Backstreet Boys, recently passed away. You know, it's kind of a sad thing. You know, mental illness, drugs, a lot of things going on with him. And I don't want to talk about the TMZ Entertainment Tonight part of that story and lifestyle, but there was a story out there where the estate of Aaron Carter was being sued by Wells Fargo for a defaulted credit card bill. And I just kind of want to touch on, you know, when people die, the bills just don't disappear. And, you know, the cost of burying a loved one sometimes is put upon, you know, the family and friends. And ironically enough, GoFundMe, which was a big part of the blog that I did a couple of days ago, is typically used to bury someone. But whenever that money is gone, guess what? There's bills that that person had. And whenever James Baca becomes the estate of James Baca, the estate of James Baca still has responsibilities to pay banks and whatnot. And I want to talk to you about how aggressive banks can be with that, because it's not pretty sometimes. I've seen some crazy stuff in my day as a banker. So I'll do two really quick topics and we'll get the hell out of here. But once again, thank you so very much for listening. Thank you so much for supporting every crazy project I get into, whether it's this podcast, Twitter, TikTok, Instagram, and now my Substack. I really appreciate all you do for me, and I'll be right back. Hey everyone, it's James Baca, the Notorious Banker, inviting you to join me on my Substack, thenotoriousbanker.substack.com. It is called the Notorious Banker Consumer Beast. While you know me as a podcaster and bank pundit and consumer advocate on social media, writing is my first passion. I am a published author of several books. I was on Notorious, no pun intended, for my blogging on social media sites such as MySpace in the mid-2000s, which furthered my love of writing, which allowed me to develop a voice and develop confidence in this crazy world that we live in throughout the years. My one promise with Consumer Beast is I'm going to talk about more than just banking. I'm going to talk about things that impact consumers in little subtle ways that slowly but surely impact the way that you spend your money, the way that you do business with certain companies, and the way that you feel about things going on in this crazy world. Consumer Beast is going to be my pet project. I'm going to try to blog at least once a week, hopefully sometimes twice a week. But I urge you to subscribe for free at thenotoriousbanker.substack.com. There will be a paid version of that in the near future, but for now, read my content free of charge, share it with your friends, and hit subscribe on that button, please. That's the Notorious Banker's Consumer Beast Substack at thenotoriousbanker.substack.com. Thank you so much. All right, everyone, I'm back with more Notorious Banker. So, you know, I was talking about my Substack in the first segment, and I did one yesterday about this particular topic, and it felt good. It felt good to write in my style. My writing style is a lot different than the average person's writing style. I consider it slam poetry. I always thought my blogging style is that. I tried to throw pop culture references. I tried to make it interesting and intriguing for people to read as I'm going through this just crazy, just like maze in my head to try to get out of all these thoughts that I think about things. So 2,400 words later, I did a Substack post about this. So I encourage you to go to thenotoriousbanker.substack.com to check it out. You can actually link to it from my website, thenotoriousbanker.org. But I'll link to this in the show notes, Wall Street Journal article, Andrew Ackerman, a follower of mine on Twitter, and Annie Linsky. Biden administration proposes rule to lower credit card late fees. Consumer Bureau regulation will cap charges at $8 a missed payment. So $8 a month, basically. As I mentioned, I'll link to in the show notes, but I'll read it here and I'll actually stop myself to throw some points in. So here's how it begins here. It says the Biden administration on Wednesday proposed a rule to limit late fees on credit cards, kicking off a regulatory battle with banks that issue the cards. The rule put forward by the CFPB aims to lower penalties to $8 from as much as $41 for a missed payment, according to the CFPB, which said that the fees typically far exceed the card issuer's cost to collect late payments. The cost to collect late payments is pennies. It's probably not even pennies. The infrastructure to send an email, an SMS, a text message saying, hey, you owe us fucking money, give us that money right away, is almost zero. Maybe you pay someone $10 an hour to send those things out manually, but even so, you know, you can do that hundreds at a time with one person. So, of course, $8 a month is probably still a good amount more than what it costs just to send notice of, hey, you owe us money from the credit card companies. As much as $41 for a missed payment, the Discover card, a card that I do own, has a $41 late fee if you miss a payment. I've been on auto pay for almost 10 years with Discover. I have not missed a payment because I don't want that $41 fee. The Consumer Bureau said it aimed to put the new rules into effect by next year after collecting public comment on the measure. It does not require congressional approval before it can be finalized. But of course, you know that banks are just going to shit all over this. Banks are going to sue. Banks are going to protest this, saying, hey, this is a big chunk of our revenue. You know, it actually isn't. Actually, the interest that you charge on credit cards is a big chunk of the revenue. $40 is just the cherry on top. Or you know what it is? On the cheeseburger of life, it's double bacon. You know, having double bacon on there is a luxury. Having just single bacon is awesome. But you throw double bacon on there, then you're just getting greedy. Then you're just getting a little gluttonous. And that's what a $41 late fee is with credit cards. It's just, it's overkill. It's like, you know what? We're going to fuck this person over. Plus, we're going to take $41. And we're going to ruin their credit for 7 years if they miss a payment. More on the story here. It says industry representatives say the proposed rule would backfire and lead to an increase in late payments if the fee isn't high enough to dissuade people from falling behind. Now here's my favorite part, a lobbyist. Jody Kelly, the CEO of the Electronic Transactions Association, which is, let me get it right here, an industry group that represents banks that offer credit cards and related services. She says the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life, and I mean the dumbest thing I heard today at least. By almost eliminating a fee, it could increase the number of late payments, which harms the creditworthiness of the customer. Let me repeat that because that's just the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. By almost eliminating the fee, it could increase the number of late payments, which harms the creditworthiness of the customer. So basically she's saying because the fee goes down from $40 to $8 that people are just going to just eat the $8 cost because it's only $8 and not pay their bills on time, which will impact their creditworthiness because, of course, your credit score goes down, your credit history gets impacted anytime you miss a late payment. So basically she's saying that those things are there to protect you from you, to keep them high, that way you avoid them by paying your fucking bills. And I think that's just the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard of. Of course the agreement, the credit card, the cardholder agreement says, hey, we give you this credit line, you use it, you pay us back on this day, you pay it in full, and this is the interest, and so on and so forth. They have all these rules as being a part of cardholder. You know, that's part of it. You get all that shit. I mean, you get the card, you activate it online or over the phone, and then you get all that paperwork, that 30, 40 pages, and no one ever reads. You know, long story short, you don't have to read it. It just says, hey, pay your shit. If you don't pay your shit, this is the fee, and this is the interest we're going to charge you. We're going to charge you this interest anyway, whether you, pay it or not, because that's the agreed upon terms. That's just part of it. But she says that it could increase the number. Could is not will. Could, you know, you're going to have a handful of people who think stupidly like that. Yeah, of course, this is America. You know, not everyone thinks rationally here. So if someone says, well, it's only $8 more, you know, not thinking that, hey, my credit is ruined for 7 years if I don't make the payment. Yeah, let's go ahead and do that. I need my money. I need to buy some beer. People do not think like that normally. Yes, you have to put it in writing because people say, well, you didn't say that explicitly. No, yeah. Okay, so just say, yes, we're going to mess up your credit. If you have a late fee, a late payment, you know, because if you say, oh, it's an $8 fee, yeah, you make it sound so minimal. And of course, with the Biden administration wanting to lower it to 8, it makes it sound like nothing. It makes it sound like you're helping the consumer. What hurts the consumer is not the $40 late fee. What hurts the consumer is the credit report and the credit marks that you have. Now, yes, there are irresponsible people that don't pay their bills. We had a president of the United States who didn't pay his bills for the longest time. I'm not trying to be political here. It's just the truth. That's why there's lawsuits. That's why there's conversations about that kind of stuff. That's fine. A lot of rich people do that shit. But the fact of the matter is this, okay? Some people just don't have any responsibility, and I get that. But at the same time, they're the most responsible sons of bitches out there in this world. People who take care of 10 kids, people who take care of 10 adopted kids, people who have church and church groups and school PTA meetings, and they referee fucking games for their high school sports or whatever, and they have work, and then they have other things that they have to do in life. Maybe they run a nonprofit organization after work. You get busy, and whenever you're busy and you have a full itinerary, guess what? You forget certain things. If you don't have auto pay, there's going to be a point in time where you just forget to do something. I left the house this morning at 6:30 to go donate blood, and you know what? I was like, God damn, I forgot something. Something seems off on my little trek to go donate blood. And I didn't forget anything, but people do that sort of thing. People forget those type of things, and you know what happens? People miss payments. When people miss payments, that's when those fees happen. But you know what's worse is that credit hit whenever you miss a payment. So I really think that, you know, if there was like a cigarette pack warning on a credit card that says, if you don't pay your stuff, we're going to ruin your credit and you're not going to be able to buy a house, buy a car. You're not going to be able to get another credit card. You're not going to be able to co-sign on a student loan for your kid or something like that. If you put that warning on there, then I'll be fine with that. You can charge whatever you want for the late fee. Because the late fee is not what it's all about. The late fee is just, like I said, it's the double bacon on the burger. It's extra revenue that banks have. They don't have to do it, but they say that it's there to dissuade people from not paying, which is totally stupid. And Jody Cali should be ashamed of herself for saying something stupid like that. But the fact of the matter is this, okay? So if you put a warning out there saying, we're going to ruin your credit if you don't pay this bill, then I would actually be fine with that. Because as horrible as, you know, the credit crisis is in America, where there's a lot of low, middle-income people, people of color, who do not have good credit through their own fault and through no fault of their own. It's not universal one way. It's wrong. You know, it's something that needs to be talked about. And, you know, if you put enough warnings on there and you give enough disclaimers and disclosures, I would actually agree with banks on this part of it. But whenever they say something stupid like it could increase the number of late payments, that's not keeping your eye on the prize. You know, the important thing is credit worthiness. They want those people to be credit worthy so they can buy houses, they can buy cars, they can get more credit cards, they can co-sign on loans. They want you to be nice and fat, nice and fed, nice and perfect. That way, whenever it's time that they need you for their sales goal, whenever they say, hey, by the way, have you thought about refinancing your house? Or, hey, by the way, how about a home equity line to fix your roof or whatever? That you're going to be ready and willing and able to do that. And they feel that an $8 late fee is going to encourage you to be irresponsible with your cards, which is just totally stupid. It's just them not wanting to just give a couple of bucks back to the American people. That's all that it is. So in this article, it says banks will likely try to use this comment period to dissuade the agency and could mount legal challenges if the proposed rule is finalized. Oh, you better believe that there's going to be lawsuits. You better believe a year from now, if they want to implement it, big banks or their lobbying groups or whatever are going to file a lawsuit saying this is unconstitutional, this is against, you know, business practices or whatever. They're going to say that we can't do our business because of this rule. And it's going to drag on for months or years or whatever, and we may never see this rule. But the fact that someone is wanting to talk about these BS fees is really, really important in my personal opinion. The CFPB's focus on credit card fees is part of a broader push by the Bureau to crack down on what it describes as problematic fees, including account overdraft fees, which of course have been mitigated in the last year or so. Bank of America, Capital One, amongst other banks, have eliminated overdraft fees or significantly reduced them. Some banks still have them, B of A included, and while I applaud the fact that they lowered it from 35 to 10, they could have easily lowered it from 35 to 0. But they still want that little bit of money, that little bit of revenue. So problematic fees, bullshit fees is what we say. You know, the Biden administration says overseas money transfers, which, you know, yeah, there's some people who send money over. When I say overseas, I mean literally overseas, over the ocean. You know, China, Japan, or whatever. There's not a lot of that I see in this part of the world. There is a lot of money transfers from U.S. to Mexico. In fact, I was the facilitator of a lot of U.S. to Mexico transfers over the years at Bank of America. So what you want basically is to, you know, have a flat fee or have you know, a monthly charge to be able to do these things. Because, you know, I was just talking to someone, a reporter via DM about California's unemployment and how they're asking for millions of dollars to implement direct deposit when it's just basically inputting numbers. Like, you want millions of dollars to just input a bunch of numbers into a computer and the computer is going to do all the work. So I agree with, you know, the Biden administration's plan to mitigate these kind of fees because they are problematic. You know, they are not in the best interest of the consumer. They're in the best interest of a multi-billion dollar corporation. The White House announced a proposed late fee cap and other measures to reduce fees ahead of a meeting of Mr. Biden's Competition Council, a group of cabinet members, and other administration officials reducing consumer costs. Mr. Biden said the idea of capping credit card fees is a, quote, small idea that is intended to build confidence in the government's capacity to help Americans. People have lost faith in the government's ability to deliver, he said. And I want to believe that he and the administration as a whole, or any presidential administration, and I don't care if there's an R, D, G, I, whatever, after your name. I really do not care. But I really want to believe that these companies, you know, these companies who make $5 billion, $10 billion a quarter are not bullshitting us and saying, hey, you know what? If you eliminate that credit card late fee, we're gonna lose a lot of our revenue. I guarantee you that it's a fraction of 1% of their revenue that they make, those late fees. I guarantee it's that much because it's something that doesn't happen often. The majority of people pay their bills on time. The people who don't have some financial situation going on, or they have some issue which caused them to miss the payment. It's just human nature, you know. There's reasons for everything, you know. It's like, hey, why did you miss school, James? I used to miss school a lot when I was in elementary school and high school. Well, I didn't have a good reason per se to just miss, you know. I was like, oh, I don't want to go. Well, deep down, bullies and schoolwork was hard and stuff like that. That's why I didn't want to go. But to other people, it's like, oh, I don't have any reason to miss school. Well, there are usual, you know, important circumstances that cause people to miss payments. It's not just cut and dry, I didn't want to pay it. You know, there's someone died, someone got sick, the kids are sick, the kids are home from school, your car broke down, you had a fire at your house, you got fired from your job. I mean, there's all these things, and for banks to not have the understanding and saying, oh, we're gonna charge you $40 and we're gonna ruin your credit for 7 years because you missed one payment. That's horrible. That's horrible. So at least the conversation from lowering it from up to $41 to $8 is a start. I don't think it's an end-all be-all solution here. Like I said, I really think that if you really wanted to help consumers, it's not necessarily going to be the fees because you know what? You can charge them $8 if they miss a payment and $8 more if they miss a second payment for a total of $16. One, it's still going to be less than the up to $40 Discover and other banks charge for late fees. And then two, if you miss two payments on a credit card in a row, that will last onto your credit report until the year 2030. 2030, I will be 47 years old in 2030. That's a long time. I don't intend on being 47 anytime soon. That's a very, very long time. So that's the discussion that needs to be had. Credit scores have only necessarily been a thing since 1989, FICO score at least. We judge people on these numbers and we don't judge context. I've met people with a 650 credit score who work their ass off, pay their bills like true workers, true men, true women who have responsibilities and they have honor and they have pride and they feel good about paying their bills. Then I have people with an 850 credit score that don't touch it like it's a fucking Fabergé egg. They're like, oh, I have an 850 credit score. I can't apply for a card. It's going to go down 5 points. And to the banks, that person is good as gold. But they show me nothing that someone with a 650 credit score doesn't, you know, because the 850 credit score just worries about that number, and they have the Lamborghini, you know, like the Lamborghini in Ferris Bueller's Day Off, where Cameron's dad just wipes it with a diaper, you know, just to shine it up. He never drives it because driving it's going to mess it up. People with big credit scores like that get everything that they want. They keep their credit score high, and, you know, they have no long-term documented responsibility for paying bills. People with 650 credit scores, a missed payment here or there, but a fundamental just consistency of paying their bills all the time should be afforded the same trust that banks put in the rich people, or at least the people with good credit scores who just swing their dick around like nothing. What does that have to do with fees, James? Well, like I said, someone who doesn't have a lot of money but has a middling credit score, an average credit score, they get hit with $40. Yeah, it sucks. You know, we all get parking tickets, and we, you know, there's unexpected expenses or whatever, so we can kind of just figure our way out of that. You can't figure a way out of needing to do a refinance on your mortgage 10 years from now. That way you can do some repairs and get some money for your daughter to go to college. And they go, yeah, do you remember in 2016 that you forgot to make a payment on your American Express card? Well, because of that, we don't know if you're the right fit. Like, you literally have to throw perfection at fucking life just to get approved for some things when you're a middle-of-the-road customer with, you know, a middle-of-the-road average salary and middle-of-the-road credit score. That's the reality that people have. So, like I said, I'm all for lowering these fees because these fees are just superfluous. They're not there to do anything except to punish the working class into giving banks more money. So, I'm a big believer in that. So, you know, it says companies can charge up to $30 for the first late payment, $41 for additional late payments. And what's funny is the Biden administration is talking about these crazy illegal fees, as he calls them, whenever Joe Biden, what used to be called the senator from MBNA, which is basically calling him the senator from Bank of America. I mean, when it came to voting time a couple of years back, one of the conversations I had with myself was, he is so closely associated with MBNA and Bank of America that just my pride, my honor, my conviction in how much I despise that fucking company was like, do I vote for him because of his affiliation to that? And that was something that I battled with in my brain because I know what that company does to hurt people. Now, some will say, well, the other person probably did just as much to hurt people as well. And while I won't disagree with you on that, the fact of the matter is, I'm familiar with Bank of America and how they impact people, trust me. So, you know, there's all these other things that Biden wants to do, the administration wants to do, junk fees, illegal fees, whatever you call them, including those that airlines charge parents who want to be sure that they're seated next to their children. So, you know, an airline that charges a $50 fee or more because you couldn't get a seat next to your 10-month-old baby. So you have to basically throw money their way to make sure that your baby's not going to be sitting next to some weirdo. You know, it's just weird. Resort fees, hotels. You know, anytime I would think of Vegas, I'd go, hey, free rooms or $5 a night rooms. Well, now, even if you have a $5 a night room, it's going to be about $52 after tax. Well, that's still an amazing price for a resort room in a big city like that with 100,000 hotel rooms and a shit ton to do. I hate resort fees. I hate them with a passion. They started out as a little $5, $10 thing 10, 12 years ago. Then 15, then 20, then 25, then 30, then 35, then 40. Now they're upwards of $60 on top of what the regular rate is. It's just a piece of cauliflower on the meatloaf plate of life. It's just there just to show you that it's there, and you just fucking just throw it away, and you put it aside, and you think nothing of it. They want you to think nothing of those resort fees, and those things are illegal too. However, in my personal opinion with that, I think if resort fees go away, guess what? Everything's just going to go up by $50 in Vegas or any place that has resort fees. So there's no real big fight to be had there because they're just going to find a way to make their money anyway. That's just the way life works. It's just the way life is. And I understand that. I'm not going to battle, you know, the world on every type of unethical thing because I understand how the game is being played, and you cannot waste your energy, your mind, your body, on having to deal with every single one of these battles. The airline thing, yes. The resorts fees, as much as I hate them, I just know what's going to happen if they go away. But the thing we're talking about here, the credit card late fees, yes, they are excessive. Yes, I do believe they should be lowered. But at the same time, I will gladly trade them staying where they're at. Or shit, even put them higher. Put them $50 if you want. As long as you do not punish someone for missing one payment and they have a valid excuse. A family member dies, bereavement purposes. People are sick. You have a legit doctor's note saying, hey, this fucking person's kids are sick. And they can't even leave the house, much less go to the bank to make this payment. I want shit like that to be the case. I want that to be the thing. Because the thing with credit cards is this, okay? I have a lot of credit card debt. I hate it. I want to pay it off. But guess what? I also am going to make sure that I don't get late fees, because that's going to impact my credit. Because what's the point of having no debt if I can't use this credit availability a few years later? It's a gun to my head, and I have to deal with it. And that's just the reality of people like me who have a lot of credit card debt and they want to buy things in the future. Well, they're forced to pay it. So if you're forced to pay and you're going to have to pay it anyway, why do you have to punish us? Why do you have to keep on hitting our wrists with a ruler or a yardstick? You know, like, why do you have to do that, Big Banks? Anyway, I just thought it was an interesting piece of something that happened this week. As I mentioned, I blogged about it, thenotoriousbanker.substack.com. Consumer Beast is my blog. I implore you to check it out. I want you to see how I discuss this. I discuss it okay on this podcast as well, but in the written word, you know, I'm a little bit more funny. I'm a little bit more just trying to make it palatable, because these things are so fucking boring to read sometimes. I really believe that people need to just stop and just smell the roses and see, hey, these roses don't smell good all the time because there's a fee attached to those fucking roses. And my thing with this is credit card fees, there's bigger fish to fry, but it's a start in the right direction. We're going to wrap up this podcast with a conversation about Aaron Carter, so please stick around. Hey everyone, it's James Baca, known professionally as the Notorious Banker, inviting you to join me on TikTok. It's at Notorious Banker on TikTok. Join the over 22,000 followers in following me, this weird nearly 40-year-old man, in discussing problems going on with big banks, problems going on with customer service in this crazy world, in a funny, acerbic way that no one else can match. I've had the fortune of having nearly 600,000 likes of my content since I started on TikTok last year, and it just keeps on growing. My followers keep on growing. Nick Jonas of the Jonas Brothers follows me on TikTok, which I just find weird, because although I like the Jonas Brothers music, I have never interacted with the man once in my life, yet I am one of 40 accounts that he follows. That just goes to show you the uniqueness of my content, and I'm proud to say that my content is unique. We hit up big banks. We hit up businesses that have poor customer service. No, we don't show Karen videos, okay, because that's going too far. But we talk about things in an enlightened manner, a funny manner, and we have a good time doing that. So once again, at Notorious Banker on TikTok, join me on the social media network that everyone seems to be talking about. I promise you one thing. You'll always have an interesting video to watch when you follow me, the Notorious Banker, on TikTok. Thank you. All right, we are back with more Notorious Banker. So a pop culture story that I wanted to get to. This is on TheBlast.com. I'm not even sure what The Blast is, to be honest with you. I've never been to it. Looks like your typical celebrity tabloidy type of website. See Ozzy Osbourne retiring, Taylor Lautner has body dysmorphia, and so on and so forth. But this story caught my eye by Kristen Myers, linked to in the show notes. Aaron Carter's estate sued by Wells Fargo over credit debt. And this is a topic a lot of people don't talk about. Maybe a lot of people don't realize until someone close to them dies. But we'll get to it here. The estate of late singer Aaron Carter is being sued for several thousand dollars by Wells Fargo. According to the legal documents obtained exclusively by The Blast, Wells Fargo Bank has filed a creditor's claim against the I Want Candy singer's estate in the Superior Court of Los Angeles. The legal papers state that Aaron's estate owes the bank exactly $2,887.51. That's not a lot of money, so it's interesting that this thing became newsworthy in public, but we'll get to that in a second. It says, according to legal documents obtained exclusively, Wells Fargo Bank filed paperwork in January 18, 2023. The bank seeks that $28.8751 from the late singer's estate. Wells Fargo reduced the basis for the claim down to one sentence. In the filing, they wrote, this claim is based on an account for goods and or services in the amount of $2,887.51, as evidenced by an account ending in 4304. A judge overseeing Edwin Carter's estate now has to approve or deny the claim. So, you know, whenever we talk about these things, I'm talking about, you know, when someone dies, the business of death. It's not a fun business, okay? Because whenever someone dies, one of the things that has to be done is you have to go to a bank. And you have to say, my so-and-so died, and this is their death certificate, and what do I do? Well, to a lot of people, it's, well, let's just try to get out his or her money. Because, oh yeah, they have a will. First of all, banks don't look at wills, okay? Banks and wills are like oil and water. Maybe if you're really rich, they look at that shit, but on the consumer level, no, they don't. So they say, well, you know, if it has to go through probate and you're the executor of this person's estate, then you have to give me paperwork from a court saying James is the executor of Aaron Carter's estate, and you have to give me paperwork for that. At that point in time, people think it's hunky-dory that, hey, I'm going to be responsible for Aaron Carter's checking account. I'm going to be able to do a nice big withdrawal. And never mind, because that probate paperwork is going to say that, hey, you, James, representative of Aaron Carter's estate, have to pay this Wells Fargo bill for $28.8751 because it's your responsibility as the executor to make sure that these bills are satisfied. And that's what a lot of people don't realize. Being the executor, administrator, whatever you want to call it, personal representative is the other one, of someone's estate is not just all playing with dead people's money. You have to pay bills, and it's a sad affair. I had this customer of mine who was a rodeo clown, a Hall of Fame rodeo clown. I know that sounds hilarious, but rodeo is a big deal in this part of the country, and he made the Hall of Fame. Good guy, Mr. Romer. Rest in peace, my friend. I don't miss a lot of my customers. I miss that man. He was just a really cool guy to talk to. He passed away a couple of months after he had a home equity loan taken out. And it was for $25,000. I have no clue what he was going to do with the money. I assumed to pay debt. I assumed to buy something. I'm not sure. We got the paperwork done. It was pretty quick. I was pretty proud because it was a pretty big deal for my sales goals to get that. And, you know, he talks about, yeah, I'm going in for a minor surgery. I'll be out in 2 days. And I'll be back here next week. And we're going to talk about something else. And that was me and him talking. Well, he goes in for surgery. He never comes out of surgery. He dies on the table, sadly. It's horrible. And I heard that he died through third-hand information. And then I saw an obituary. And, I mean, I cried. It was horrible stuff. But then, this was just a few weeks after I had closed the home equity loan for him, meaning that he had drawn that money out. He now owes the bank X amount of dollars against his house, which was paid free and clear. Before that loan, his wife comes in. I never had met his wife before. Really nice lady. She's really cool. And she comes in. It's like, well, we got to take Bob's money out. And, you know, like, okay, well, this is what we have to do. This is the procedure. It's a shitty procedure at Bank of America, but I was good at it. I lived in a retirement community. Unfortunately, a lot of my customers died. So I was like, I need this paperwork, this one. And then this is how they kind of figure stuff out to me. So, you know, we do the paperwork, and she's understanding, she's cool. And then about 10 days later, she comes back with a piece of paper that says, you know, what's this? And I then realized that she didn't know that he had taken money off of the home. And the problem with that is, now that he's dead, that estate of Bob is now responsible for that debt. So any monies that were in his account, if they don't want to lose the house too, had to be paid towards that home equity loan to close the loan out and to make sure that the house is owned free and clear by his widow at that point. So she didn't even know what a HELOC was. She didn't know what anything was of that nature. And I had to explain to her, one, what the loan was, two, what he did, and three, what that means for her. So basically, I broke her heart. Basically, I told her that, hey, you owe this bunch of money to Bank of America, and it's going to be due on this day. She didn't hate me for it. She didn't get mad at me. she was confused about the situation, and she paid the debt, and she had $25,000 less than what she thought she would have. And I don't know where she's at now, but that's a horrible thing. That's a sad thing to think about, that she walked out without her husband and with $25,000 less because of this thing that he did. It's not her fault. It's not necessarily his fault. He didn't know he was going to die, but holy shit. That was a rude awakening for her. So, you know, Aaron Carter's estate, I don't know who's the executor and all this stuff for that. $2,800, it's not a big deal. I'm sure it's going to be paid. But like I said, the problem is the business of death isn't discussed with family or friends or whatever. Like when people walk into the bank and say, oh, so-and-so died, I need to withdraw everything. No, big banks like Wells, big banks like Bank of America turn it into this fucking months-long mini-series that just goes on and on and on, and it never ends. And sometimes I would get yelled at for how long it's taken. And guess what? I'm like, I want it to be done too, because I got other things that I have to do for my job as well. So I'm not a huge celebrity Aaron Carter fan, you know, rest in peace. But this was a story that caught my eye, because the way that this tabloid newspaper kind of talked about it is that, oh my God, he's being sued because he did this irresponsible thing. No. He probably threw everything on a credit card and then he died, and then he wasn't around to pay it. I mean, that's just is what it is. So, you know, I really think stories like this are technically important, even though they're from tabloid news sources, because it at least has a discussion. You know, people go like, why does he have to pay? He's dead. I thought your bills get, you know, discharged when you die. Yeah, no, it does not work that way. Trust me. So many bankruptcies, so many people telling me how their lives are ruined because of monies that were owed by other family members, and they either, you know, ran away somewhere or died. It's horrible business, but it's the banking business sometimes. Anyway, I'll link to that in the show notes. I just wanted to just talk about that because I just found it interesting. I just found it interesting that someone else found the little minutia of banking interesting, and theblast.com was the last place I thought to see a bank story. So I'm going to wrap it up, my friends. My name is James Baca, known professionally as The Notorious Banker. I'm signing off. Please go to @NotoriousBanker on TikTok, 22,500 strong, @BankBetterGuy on Twitter, 3,500 strong, and 4,000 plus on Instagram @NotoriousBanker. You can also find me at TheNotoriousBanker.substack.com. My blog, Consumer Beast, is free of charge. We'll have a premium version of that launching very soon. Of course, patreon.com/notoriousbanker. Any contribution to my project will be appreciated. And then, of course, you can find my book, High Risk Transaction, The Ryan Coogler Bank of America Incident, available on Amazon in Kindle and ebook format, along with my other book, Please Try Your Call Again Later. And I got a few more coming down the pike, so be on the lookout for that. I encourage you to subscribe to my blog and also go to thenotoriousbanker.org for all of my content, plus ways of contributing to the Notorious Banker project. But I will talk to you again in a few days or as breaking news warrants. But until we meet again, friends, my name is James Baca, known professionally as The Notorious Banker, signing off, wishing you a good day, have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you very soon. Goodbye.